Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Peter Dworkin. I represent the Figueroas. I'd like to reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal, please. Your Honors, this is a case regarding this court's interpretation of the common law rules of when a municipality is obligated to serve a resident outside of its corporate boundaries with water and or sewer. It's quite clear that Washington state statutes give the municipality the discretion to not do that except in two general circumstances. Those general circumstances are when an implied contract or an express contract comes about where the city is obligated by contract to serve with water or sewer, or secondly, when a municipality is under what's called a general duty to provide water and sewer services where it is the exclusive supplier in a region. Excuse me, I'm a bit of a cold today.
One of the sort of background issues in the case seems to be, what happened with, or what is happening with the urban growth boundary and with annexation. And maybe it's the city's brief, but there seems to be a suggestion that the Figueroas could have petitioned for their site to be annexed. Is that true? Can a person individually, as an owner of a lot, petition for to be annexed?
No. Well, let me say this. I'm not an expert on the law of annexation, okay. But the Figueroas could, along with others, petition to be annexed. I believe, and I'd encourage Mr. Erb when it's his chance to correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't believe an individual parcel can petition for annexation.
That's what
I believe a whole region must petition for annexation. And so the fact that could they? Yes, they could, but it wouldn't be just by their own volition on their own. I think the briefing on the facts here are quite simple, and I think the briefing, there's not a lot of case law from what I could see. We both focused on the issues. In my mind, this case boils down to a distinguishing factor that we have in this case that I've not found in any of the other water cases, which is all the other water cases that I've seen and read have the concept of a main running in front of them, but they're not connected to it. I've not been able to find any case law where the actual connection from the main runs on to the private property of the person asking for the service. And that's what we have here. And I pointed out in my briefing, when you look at the city's definition of what a water service is, it specifically references the connection to the main, the connection from the main to the property, and the meter. Now, there's no meter on these services. The city makes much fact here of the concept that at least with the sewer service, the county installed it, not the city, okay? But it's clear that the city consented to that and understood that that's what was happening.
There was a stub up to this vacant lot of the Figueroas, right?
Correct.
And
both.
Who installed that?
Well.
Or built it or whatever.
It's my understanding. I'm not clear as to the water stub, whether the city did it or not. I believe, and the city provided evidence as to who did it. I can tell you this. The Figueroas didn't do it. But there is currently, it's undisputed, that there is a water service stub and a sewer service stub that is on the Figueroas' private property that's outside of the right-of-way. So it's not just in the city right-of-way, it's on their private property. Secondly, the Figueroas applied for and paid the city a permit fee for that water connection, and that document is also in the record.
Well, no, they paid to install the water line.
Correct.
They paid $480 to install the water line.
Correct.
And it was in around 2000 when the county was engaged in widening the road and putting in the sewer line, and I believe the record shows it was the county that installed the stubs, and that was a stub for water and sewer service, which makes sense with Mr. Figueroa then applying to install a water line. But Mr. Figueroa did not pay to activate the water service. Is that correct?
As far as I understand, yes. Now,
And then in 2002, as I understand it, Mr. Figueroa did pay latecomers' fees and connect his home to the water service.
I believe so, yes.
And then, you know, we talk about a backdrop. We have annexation, but we also have the GMA that happened. So this whole transaction and this whole evolution of what happened here takes place in the context then of the adoption of the Growth Management Act and the adoption of the Urban Growth Boundary.
Yes.
So just to verify, and I think we're all clear on this, but just, well, I'll just verify and then you can answer. But it's my understanding that from the maps that Mr. Figueroa's property is not in within the city limits. Is that correct?
That's correct. It's
and it so and it is part of the urban growth area.
That is correct.
All right, thank you.
Can I add one fact to that that I believe is relevant?
Yep.
And I'll take time off my rebuttal. A 20-house development across the street was added into the city services that is not within the corporate limits in the last 2 years.
Okay. And I okay, thank you.
What's that called?
What's that called?
Yeah. If you know.
Greenbrier Development did it. It's right outside
that,
the city limits.
That big rectangle.
Yeah, it's on the left as you head up the hill on U Street.
Good morning. May it please the court. James Erb on behalf of the city of Bellingham. The city is here today asking this court to affirm Judge Garrett's ruling below because she got it right. This is a case, it's a simple contract case. Did the city and the Figueroas contract for one, water service, and for two, sewer service? And the city's argument below, and the argument again, is that that did not happen.
What did they buy then when they paid the $480?
They paid $480 for the water service stub. And as Judge Schindler was pointing out, this was around the same time that Whatcom County was engaged in a large infrastructure project widening that particular road. So the county came to the city and said, we want to install these stubs now to avoid tearing up the road at a later date. And the city acquiesced. And at the time, they contacted the homeowners, such as the Figueroas, and asked them if they would acquiesce. And the Figueroas did. And so they paid for the installation of the water stub at that time.
Stub? Why did they pay the city for that? I mean, the city sounds like didn't do anything. They just work like a broker or what? I mean, the Figueroas weren't in city limits. The county was building the road. The county was building the stub so they wouldn't have to build it at some other time. Why? What's the justification for extracting $480 from the Figueroas to go to the city?
At this time, in 2000 and 2001, the city did have a water service zone in the area. The city owns the main that runs down U Street Road in Bellingham. And so the connection was to the city, and the city actually owns that pipe.
Even the part that extends into the county?
That's correct, ma'am. And so up to the Mr. Dworkin has talked
so
about
was
this.
So it sort of a collaborative effort between the county and the city to widen that road? The county widened the road and the city extended its water line? Is that what was happening?
I believe that they did work collaboratively. I don't know who actually did the digging or the installing of the pipe.
Was it a new pipe that went down the new road?
Wasn't the pipe already in? I mean, I think at the time what they were installing was a sewer line.
That's correct, ma'am. The
okay.
pipe was already there.
So, and at the time, and I know we have different ordinances, but at the time there was a water zone, there was a sewer zone, and Mr. Figueroa could have hooked up or obtained water service from the city.
That's correct, Your
Honor. And then what changed was the ordinance changed.
Yes, ma'am. So, in fact, the Figueroas purchased this vacant
so
lot.
He paid the $480 for what, like for the right to possibly in the future sometime activate his service, for which he would have had to pay again.
Well, in fact, the plaintiff's argument here is that when they paid the $480, they received the opportunity or the right to activate their service on demand. And what the city is saying is that's not true. What you received was the stub, and then you have to meet the city's requirements to receive service. And at this point, the city requires one of two things for the Figueroas to receive service. They either need to annex to the city or they need to demonstrate.
What do you mean they need to annex? I mean, that's back to Judge Becker's first point. They, as individual property owners, cannot annex.
That is correct, Your Honor. However, they can also work with their neighbors to submit a petition for annexation. And as the city was giving out water for quite an extended period of time in this area, people were signing contracts and people were signing no protest agreements.
Well, that
they would annex.
Well, but I think those were found to be not legal. So what's your position as to what they would need to do now? They would need to work with other property owners to file an annexation petition. What's your second? What's the second criteria?
Oh, the alternative route of getting water in this particular part of the UGA would be to demonstrate that water and or sewer is necessary to protect general health, safety, and the environment.
So what is Mr. Figaro left with under your theory of what he can do now? He's in what's designated as rural, so he is in Whatcom County. So is his recourse then to install a well and a drain field and have on-site sewage?
That's certainly one option, and one of the points that the city made below is that option has not actually even been explored by the Figaros. There was a letter presented to the city council with the request for water and sewer.
Right, so not formal denial, but suppose that there was a formal denial, just to pursue this hypothetically. If he theoretically, Figaro, could get a well on a septic system, but what if he can't, physically speaking, make that work on his property? The county wouldn't permit it because it's too swampy or whatever. Does he then have any recourse to hook up with the city other than getting his neighbors to agree?
Well, certainly then he would have the opportunity to come back before the city council and explain that the facts have changed and that he, in fact, did pursue the opportunity to put in a well and a septic system on his property, and the county did not allow him to do that. And at this point, he has no other option for developing his property but to request city water and sewer.
Can't the city still say, no, we don't want to because you're outside the city limits and, you know, if you get to do it, everybody will do it and we just don't want to do it?
Well, actually, Your Honor, the city could say, no, we're not going to do that because developing a vacant lot is not necessary to protect general health, safety, or the environment.
Right, so he couldn't meet either one. He couldn't meet the annex and he couldn't meet the other qualification necessary to protect general health and environment. So.
But Judge Spearman, I believe he can meet the annexation requirement, but it does require some work and effort on his part. In this case,
incorporation of his neighbors who may or may not wish to be incorporated annexed.
That's a good point. And this case is actually a very good example of why the city changed its policy in 2004 to require property owners to annex before it would give municipal services, because we learned over time that providing services before people annexed created a disincentive towards annexation, and that there is a belief.
Is this an area where you want annexation? Is this within the urban growth boundary?
It is within the urban growth boundary, Your Honor.
So there's no thumb on the scales against annexation.
No, ma'am.
Well, and we do have the map where I think council pointed us to the recent large annexation. I guess it's called
Greenbrier.
That is a misstatement of fact, Your Honor. The Greenbrier property has not annexed to the city. What the Greenbrier Development Company did was they came into the city under the rules and regulations and signed a contract for direct municipal services. So that's what happened with respect to that development. They've not annexed. They're still considered part of the UGA. But while the city was still offering water to property owners in this
also
area.
Also, it was back. We do have this evolution where if Mr. Figaro had paid not only to have the stub put in, but also for water service, we wouldn't be here.
That's correct, Your Honor.
And that's in 2002, 2000. It's only recent, you know, I guess 2004, is that when it changed, the ordinance?
2004 was when the policy changed. The water service zone was repealed in 2006. The sewer service zone was repealed in 2011.
Now, was that to comply with the Growth Management Act?
That was to comply with the city's policy.
And then there's no challenge to the policy?
No, ma'am. And so I think I also want to point out with respect to these dates that under the rulings in Brookins and Harbord, which were both Court of Appeals cases affirming a municipality's right to deny water outside of its boundaries, in both of those cases there were statute of limitations problems. There were also statute of limitations problems here because the cause of action accrued in 2006 when the city repealed the water service zone. And as we know, this complaint was not filed until November 2014.
So is it your argument then that even if the Figaros did get something substantial, but when they paid $480, that if that was something where they acquired a contract right, that nevertheless they failed to sue for breach of contract in time?
That's exactly right, Your Honor.
Right, but let's go back to the premise there, which is I wonder if you can just put it a little bit more succinctly for me, because it seems like they must have gotten something for the $480, and I just don't understand what they got. It says in your brief that the Figaros paid the city $480 for the installation of a water service stub for future use. And this was during the county's construction project. But what kind of a fee schedule was this? I mean, from the city's point of view, what were you giving them in exchange for taking their $480?
We were giving them the lateral pipe, literally a piece of metal pipe that goes from the water main and the corporation stop there to their private property.
So somebody from the city actually went out and put in that pipe?
Either the city or the county put in the pipe. And in exchange for that.
If it was the county, why does the city get to charge for it?
Because the city owns the pipe.
Oh, so the city would have given the pipe to the county and the county would have put it in.
That may be how it happened, Your Honor. The record's not very well developed in this area.
For the right to connect to the main, is that what you're saying?
It was the right to, it's not exactly the right to connect to the main because that's what they need the meter for. And in order to get the meter, a lot's been made of the $480, Your Honor, but in order to hook up to the city water, you need to pay system development charges and other meter fees and other things. I mean, to connect to water and sewer, the figures need to pay over $30,000. It's a big deal. It's hard to believe that the city said, we'll give you water and sewer whenever you want it for $480, when the price to get it is really over $30,000.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So everyone here involved knows the Figueros have never said that they deserve free water. What they're looking for is the right to water. And the trial court never was presented with the issue of whether the city could condition the hookup, physical hookup of a meter, on some additional reasonable fees and costs.
What about their argument related to the statute of limitations? Do you agree that 2006 is the date that we would look at for the cause of action accruing?
I disagree, and here's why. The Harvard case dealt with someone who did not have city infrastructure on their property. What the court needs to look at here is the subjective understanding of the Figueros. Mr. Figueroa had stubs on his property. He had got an account number from the city. He has showed it in the record, kept it in his wallet for 10 years. So his perception was that he was okay to get water. He asked to go get water from the city, and he was denied. The city and I dispute about what that denial meant. I believe it was an equivocal denial. I believe it said, okay, Mr. Figueroa, you can come back and try again.
Now, what date are you referring to with that denial?
I believe that denial was in 2008.
And so is that the date that you think is the trigger?
No, and here's why. Because Mr. Figueroa went back.
Now, they're arguing it's 2006. So why isn't it 2006 when the city repealed the right?
Because the case that says, the Harvard case, I believe, is the authority in Washington law that says he was on constructive notice at this time that the zone was repealed and that he shouldn't be able to get services. That was the rationale in Harvard for the court saying that the statute, that the breach had occurred and the statute of limitations had accrued. But in that case, the developer was trying to develop a number of new properties. He had connections to some properties, may have been promised connections to additional ones orally, but that developer did not have physical pipes owned by the city on his property like the Figueros did. And so the concept of when this breach occurs is, so what? The city may repeal it. Well, let's look at this 2006 ordinance. Here's what it says. Current water and sewer utility services inside or outside the UGA. The City Council does not intend for this ordinance to terminate any water or sewer service that is in existence at the time of this ordinance's effective date. This is the ordinance repealing the service zone. Now, that ordinance goes to define what in existence means. For purposes of this ordinance, in existence means the property is currently receiving service and or shall have a fully signed, valid, and recorded utility service zone agreement. Now, I happen to have some very personal knowledge of the definition of what this means because I helped draft it. Because at my time, my firm was representing people out on Chuckanut Drive. And as I'm sure Judge Becker knows, there's a water main that runs from the city of Bellingham all the way out to Larrabee State Park. And there's a nice, not-so-little development out there called Governor's Point that people wanted to put a lot of houses on. There was a case before this court about that issue. It's an unpublished decision as to whether the Governor's Point development has a right to hook up to the water main that runs 10 miles out that way. This, and this isn't in the record, but it's a point of interest at least. This was for that situation. And in that situation, there were a number of people out there who had connections to water and a number of people who had contracts but had not yet connected.
Okay, so this is not part of the record, and we are aware of that case.
Right. And what is part of the record, though, is this ordinance. And
right.
So
we would look at the words, not your gloss.
Of course. Sorry. I just thought it was interesting. Point of order. I reserved 5 minutes for rebuttal, so I had some extra time. No, I'm kidding. But with respect, though, to in existence.
You caught my attention, Mr.
Okay, good. Thank you.
I think that was the purpose.
I plead the fifth. In existence is just defined as being served. Now, let's look at what the city ordinances back then and now say a service is. The public works will install a service pipe from the main to the property line and will include such equipment as determined by the public works department, such by way as example, a curb stop, right of way, a meter box, meter assembly. This equipment is part of the water service and thereafter shall be maintained by and kept within the exclusive control of the city.
Well, you didn't have all of that.
We didn't have the meter. That's it. Everything else is there except the meter. As you heard Mr. Erb say, there's a control box, there's the corporate valve, and there's a pipe all the way into the Figueroa's property that, as was just told today, that's what we bought for $480. So,
all right.
Thank you. I'd ask the court remand to the trial court.
Thank you very much. That would
appreciate your time.
Calendar for today. We'll be at recess.